إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to continue with advice for the seekers of knowledge, an extension of the topic that we just completed last week, the daily routine for the seeker of knowledge. This advice is from Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah, and it was an advice to the students at the Islamic University of Medina. The advice is very brief, and just to see it visually, the entire advice of Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz is on this one paper right here, in very large print, and if we made a small print, it would be one sheet, one side. I made it large print in case anybody wants to memorize, then it's a little bit easier to read, and you can see that it's not really much. And since we have begun to memorize, alhamdulillah, we're not going to stop once we get started, right? So, I don't feel a great need to discuss the biography of the author of the advice since we just finished not long ago his explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah, and we discussed his life and his biography at that time. So I want to get right into the advice. It's very brief. The explanation or the commentary on this advice is also by our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Musin Al-Abad Al-Badr. And his commentary is also brief. So it's not very lengthy. The Arabic complete text and commentary is only large print, 15 pages. Only 15 pages. Before we enter this advice for tonight, for those who came prepared, inshallah, we want to quickly look at some of the topics that we covered in the final session of the daily routine for the seeker of knowledge. From the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 10, which was the final lecture in that book. The first question is summarize the four areas outlined by the author, rahimahullah, as part of one's daily routine in life. Summarize the four areas. Number one. Naam Zakaria. Your routine, your manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your manhaj with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There the author, he mentioned four points. Second area. Naam Ali. The manhaj with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there he mentioned how many points? Three. And the third area, Naam Abdul Wali. Naam, what is your daily, the actions, the acts of ibadah that a person should be doing every day, aside from the obligatory duties? And there the author mentioned how many points? Huh? Last one is six. This one he mentioned? Five. The dhikr and dua when you wake up, adhkar al-sabah al-masa, salat al-duha and salat al-qiyam, utubitr. Naam. And the last area? Last area, Ahmed. Tariq is talib al-ilm. The path for a person seeking knowledge. And here the author mentioned 6 points. I'm just going to note here, before we go on, that these 18 points in these four areas that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, mentioned are not completely different, but it came in a different manner. Because he divided it up into four areas, your manhaj with Allah, with the Messenger of Allah, your daily activities that you do, worship outside of the obligatory duties. And then he mentioned 6 points related to the path of seeking knowledge. The advice that we're going to continue with this evening is a more broad-based general advice. And here, the author, he mentions 6 specific points about studying, and then he mentions 5 areas of importance that the Shaykh comments on. So So you'll see that these 11 points are not completely different, but the way that it's presented is very different. So I just want to make a note of that. So as we go into tonight's advice, inshallah, we keep in mind the difference in the way various scholars may present the same general subject area. Question number two. Question number two from the study guide. Memorize the fifth advice of the author under one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. The fifth advice. Now, Abdul Wali. Naam. To become familiar with, to learn, familiar with what? Usul al-masail wa qawa'idha. That a person becomes familiar with the fundamentals, the usul, the foundations of each issue, and their qawa'id, the rules and principles. And to write down anything in this area that a person comes across. And the rest of what he said is in the next question, discuss the saying which summarizes the importance of being acquainted with the usul of the masail and the qawa'id. What did he say concerning this? Naam, man hurima al-usul, hurima al-usul. Meaning, somebody tell me, what does this mean? Naam.
One who knows the fundamentals of the issues, and the sciences and principles, will reach its destination.
Will reach their destination, their goal, their objective. Yani, the person who is deprived of the usul, of knowing the foundations of the issues, then they will be deprived of al-wusul, of reaching the goal or the destination. Question number four, a little more specific, mention the title of Imam Ibn Uthaymeen's book on the principles of Asma wa Sifat. What is the name of that book, in Arabic or English? Naam. Al-Qawaid al-Muthla fi Asma ilahi wa Sifatihi al- Wow. Does anybody know the meaning of the title of that book? Al-Husna. Husna. What is the title of it in English?
The Exemplary Principles.
Exemplary Principles?
Beautiful names and attributes of Allah.
Asma'i Lahi wa Sifatihi Al-Husna. Question number five. Mention the title of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's Rahimullah's book related to principles of tafsir. Principles of Tafsir. What's the name of that book? That is highly recommended that a person read. It has been translated maybe 20 years ago, and an explanation by Shaykh al-Uthaymeen has also been translated. Very, very valuable book. What is the name of that book? Muqaddima of what? Usul al-Tafsir. Usul al-Tafsir. Tayyib. The sixth question, mentioned the title of Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, his book, Rahimahullah, pertaining to principles of fiqh. Principles of fiqh, that's the giveaway, right? What is the title of this book? Huh? Close, but not usul, but the principles, the qawaid. Yani al-qawaid al-fiqhiyya. Al-qawaid al-fiqhiyya. Question number seven, discuss briefly one of the well-known principles of fiqh mentioned by the author in the above-mentioned book. One of those principles. I don't know if we, did I mention some of the principles? I think I mentioned briefly, quickly in passing. Anybody know any principles of fiqh? Al-ahkam laha, al-maqas laha ahkam, or I should say al-wasail. Al-wasail, the means to a thing, takes on the rulings of, the maqsad, wasail laha ahkam al-maqasid. Also, from the principles of fiqh that the Shaykh mentions there is دَرْعَ الْمَفَاسِدْ يعني أولى مِنْ جَلْبْ الْمَصَالِي. That preventing any harm takes precedence over gaining some benefit. يعني if there is benefit in something and also harm, then the preventing the harm takes precedence over the benefit. And other principles like شَكْ يقين is not eliminated by doubt and such. There are a lot of very, very important principles that he mentions there. This book is definitely, it's a small book with a brief explanation, but it's worthy that a person should at least familiarize himself with it. Eighth question, next to last question, summarize the story of Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, being distracted by birds and its benefit. What was the point, of this story, or summary of it? Now.
Sayyid al-Ilm,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Naam. Meaning, somebody else tell me, what's the meaning of that? Naam. Fadl.
Flight to knowledge.
Flight to knowledge? Hunting knowledge. Yani seeking knowledge is better than hunting birds, yani animals. Naam. This story, the summary of the story is what? What's the background of that statement? Ya Abdul Wali.
It
was sitting in the class.
And
birds outside of the masjid, in the courtyard of the masjid, in the open air. And some birds flew over. And who was distracted by it? Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen. Yani student Uthaymeen at that time. Naam. He was following the birds in the sky. And the Sheikh, Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, noticed that he had been distracted. And then he called to his attention that what? That seeking knowledge, hunting knowledge, is better than and you're trying to catch some birds. Now, the last question is, memorize the six advice of the author, rahimahullah, and the one's daily routine in the path of seeking knowledge. Any of the six advice? Now. Now. Ahsanta, mashallah, mashallah. Who can translate that for us? Also, you'll translate for us, Fadda.
You should debate the
al-masail, the issues. And if not those who we have mentioned, meaning your sheikh or one of your fellow students. Now, so these are some of the points that we discussed last week, and that was the closing topic for the book, any of the routine, daily routine for the seeker of knowledge. And tonight, inshallah, as I mentioned in the beginning, we're going to continue with looking at some advice from the scholars of the people of Sunnah for those who are serious about seeking knowledge. Whether they're full-time students or part-time students, if we're serious, then this is also an advice of extreme importance that any person has to take to heart and attempt, they need to implement, to follow, in our lives. So, the text of the advice of the Sheikh is very, very brief, as I mentioned. I copied it in large print, easy to read on one sheet of paper for those who may have come late. Yani, it's not that much, but it contains many, many important, valuable points of advice for a person who's serious about seeking knowledge. So it's entitled, and I did send to the class, those who are on the email list, I did send to the class the PDF file for the translation, which, like, mashallah, was provided. Brother Zakaria, mashallah. We weren't going to have a translation because I didn't know that there was any translation. So he, mashallah, helped us tremendously in making available that translation. And which he actually had to work on. It wasn't just, he didn't just find it somewhere, mashallah. And I also sent the Arabic text of the advice of the Sheikh along with the commentary of Sheikh Abdul Razak. So it begins, and the title of it is Ta'liqat ala wasiyat al-Sheikh Ibn Baz al-Tulab al-Jami al-Islamiyah, yani the comments related to the advice of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, to the students of the Islamic University, meaning the Islamic University of Medina. So Shaykh Abdul Razak, he begins, before he mentions the text of this advice, with Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And the praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. And even though this is something that normally yani, a talk would begin with, and anything yani, that Muslims yani, engage in, we always recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's worthy that we stop and reflect for a moment. When we say Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, by Allah, indeed, the praise belongs to Him. Because of His perfection, of His asma and His sifat, and because of His generosity and His kindness to the creation, all that He does for us and has done for us. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. And a person has to reflect on this in their heart and recognize and acknowledge and believe when we are saying these words that this is a fact, that all of the praise, Allah is the one who is worthy of it. He says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa ashadu an la ilaha illallah, and I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, wahdahu la sharika lah, He alone deserves to be worshipped without any partner. Yani no, there's no partner, no one who shares this right to be worshipped with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not prophets, or messengers, or angels, or anyone. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his worshipper, his abd, and his messenger, his rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. May the salat and salam of Allah be upon him and upon his family, yani the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, all of them. Amma ba'd. The Shaykh says, so after this, بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ وَصِيَّ عَظِيمَ نَافِيَ Yani, in front of me is a wasiyah, an advice. And here, wasiyah, yani the meaning of it is something that a person leaves behind, whether in writing or otherwise, yani as a means of guidance for someone that they are leaving behind, someone that they love, that they care about. Yani, something very, very important that they want to leave that person with. Yani, wasiyah azima nafiyah. It is a great, tremendous advice. And it is beneficial. كَتَبَهَا إِمَامٌ جَلِيلٌ وَعَلَمٌ نَاصِحٌ وَشَيْخٌ مُرَبِّ Yani, it was written by a noble imam. Indeed, al-imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, in the real sense of the word imam, yani meaning imam of the Muslims, yani a leader of the Muslims. Not yani just the imam who leads the prayer, because any one of us, in the absence of our imam, might be leading the prayer. But we mean, yani, imam in the sense that other people follow him. Rather, even the leaders followed him. As we mentioned some weeks ago, the incident that took place at the Islamic University of Medina, when they were trying to remove the families of students who had come without permission, and the problem was they didn't have money to take care of them. And he, yani, took the leadership in front of the rest of the people, 30 or 40, 50 dignitaries, government officials and scholars from around the world, and he said, if that's the problem, I'll pay for it. Naam. That's a leader. He's imam. Naam. Imam Jalil, a noble imam. Wa alim nasih, yani a sincere, distinguished scholar, authority. And the Shaykh Murabbi, yani a Shaykh who nurtured, yani nurtures the people, his students and those who benefit from him. Ala wa huwa al-imam al-shaykh al-allama Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. Indeed, the one that he is talking about, he says, is Al-Imam, Al-Shaykh Al-Alama, Abdulaziz ibn Baz. These are titles that indeed, yani, not everyone is entitled to be scribed with. Yani, Al-Imam, indeed he was an Imam, a Shaykh, and a major scholar. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, he goes on to say, وَهِيَ وَصِيَّةٌ خَصَّ بِهَا طُلَّاب الْجَامِعِ الْإِسْلَامِيَ Yani, it is an advice that he has Yani directed specifically to the students of the Islamic University of Medina. And that doesn't mean that nobody else can yani benefit from it. But he was advising the students at the Islamic University of Medina specifically on this particular occasion. The Shaykh, he says, جَمَعَ لَهُمْ فِيهَا وَصَايَ عَظِيمًا نَافِيَ لِلْغَايَ Yani he has gathered or collected or brought together in this advice, in this very, very brief advice, he has brought together some magnificent, tremendous advices which are of the utmost benefit. يَنْبَغِي عَلَى كُلِّ طَالِبِ عِلْمٍ فِي هَذِهِ الْجَامِعِ وَعَلَى كُلِّ طَالِبِ عِلْمٍ عُمُومًا Yani it is incumbent upon every student seeker of knowledge in this university. And Shaykh Abdul Razak is also addressing the students at the university on this occasion. He said it is incumbent upon every student of knowledge in this university and on students of knowledge in general أن يتأملها فإنها في غاية النفع وكبيرة الفائدة وعظيمة الأهمية. He said, everyone needs to, and every student of knowledge, whether at the university or otherwise, needs to examine carefully, study, reflect upon this advice. For indeed, it contains, yani, the utmost benefit and a huge benefit, and it is of, yani, great importance. It is of great importance. فَسَأَقْرَى هَذِهِ الْوَصِيَّةِ كَامِلَةً ثُمُّ أُعَلَّقْ عَلَيْهَا بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ He said, so I will read this advice in its entirety. And he's going to read first the entire advice from the beginning to the end of it, which is very, very brief. And then he said, I will comment upon it with whatever, yani, I find easy to comment with. Meaning that he's going to, yani, be brief in what he's going to say about it. Yani whatever comes to his mind at that moment, he's going to comment with it, being brief. So here he mentions the text of the advice of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz. Saying, Qala rahimahullah ta'ala, yani that Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him, said, Alhamdulillah wa kafa. And by the way, let me just say here that to no one's fault, our brother has prepared and kind of quickly reviewed this translation and tried to remove some of the mistakes or errors that it contained. And there might be some small points here and there. But for the most part, mashallah, it is really a good translation, a very accurate translation for the most part. And perhaps, we might continue to look at it over the next couple of weeks and even, do a few other things with it, But because of the shortness of the time, we didn't really have a lot of time. I didn't think that there was any translation available, so we didn't have really time to work on it. But alhamdulillah, he did the work, not me. I just received it. So the Shaykh, he begins by saying, Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. That the praise belongs to Allah, and He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is sufficient for all of our needs. Alhamdulillah, and He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is sufficient. And salam be upon His worshippers, whom He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has chosen. Amma ba'd, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, he says, so after this, فَالَّذِي أُوصِي بِهِ أَبْنَائِي طُلَّابُ الْجَامِعِ الْإِسْلَمِيَةِ يعني that which I am advising my sons, the students of the Islamic University, that which I advise them with, هو تقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى في جميع الأحوال. So here the Imam, he mentions six points, six detailed points related to students at the university. And some of them are applicable to anybody, or at least, if you look at them carefully, you can see how they can be applied to anyone. But he's actually addressing specifically some specific points of advice to the students who are at the university studying as full-time students. He said, so the first thing that I advise them with, huwa taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi jami' al-ahwal, that you observe the taqwa of Allah in every situation or circumstance. And this, the advice with taqwa of Allah, is the advice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the previous nations and for all times, and the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is an advice that every Muslim, seeker of knowledge or otherwise, is in need of. And that a person observes taqwa of Allah in every situation and in every circumstance. The second thing he said, وَالْحِرْسُ عَلَى طَلُبِ الْعِلْمِ, that a person be diligent and eager in seeking knowledge. First, he's advising us in our relationship with Allah that we observe taqwa. And secondly, he's advising specifically seekers of knowledge that they be diligent in seeking that knowledge. Don't be lazy in doing so, but actually apply yourself to seeking knowledge, even if you're not a full-time student. Even if you're just attending classes one or two nights a week, apply yourself to this because of its importance. It is of the utmost importance. The third thing he said, وَالْعِنَايَةُ بِالْمُقَرَّرَاتِ الدِّرَاسِيَةِ, that a person gives care and gives their attention to the curriculum that has been placed for them to study. The specific subjects and books that have been set up for that student in that particular college or in that particular year of study, the curriculum that has been set up for you, pay attention to it. Al-inaya means that a person gives care to something, gives care to it, that they pay attention to it. Then he said, number four, وَالْمُذَاكَرَةُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي مَا قَدْ يَخْفَى مِنْ مَسَعَلِهَا, that the students amongst themselves, that they study with each other, and he help one another, particularly with those issues that might be unclear. then that every student gives care to the curriculum that is set for them to study, and that together they study with one another and help one another, especially in reference to those issues that might be unclear. The issues that some people might miss or might not grasp. Then he says, number five, وَالْإِصْغَاءُ لِلْمُدَرِّسِينَ. And the last 2 points are in reference to the teachers. He said, listen attentively to the teachers. Listen attentively to the teachers. And six, he says, وَالسُّؤَالُ عَنْ كُلِّ مَا يُشْكِلُ فِي الدَّرْسِ بِالْأُسْلُوبِ الْحَسَنِ. And that a person ask questions about everything in the lesson that might be problematic. Ask, but ask بِالْأُسْلُوبِ الْحَسَنِ, in a good manner, in a respectful manner, and in a proper manner. And ask a question in a way that your question can be understood. Some people ask a question and we don't know what you're asking. And you think about what you want to know and ask a proper question. So these are six matters that the Shaykh has mentioned here specifically to, more so it's applicable to full-time students, but it can be in some way, every one of them can be applicable to all of us. So I know you have taken notes, let's try to see if we can mention those six things. What are they? Any one of them. One. Now, Ahmed. To have taqwa of Allah in every situation and circumstance. Naam, Muhammad. Yani that a person be diligent and eager in seeking knowledge. Zakaria. The materials that have been given. Naam, the curriculum. Muqarrarat. Yani focus on them. Pay attention to them. Naam, Ali. Naam, that they help each other. That they discuss amongst themselves issues that are unclear. Abdullah. Listen attentively to your teachers. In the back, I don't know whose hand that is. I can't see, but I just see a hand back there. Oh, that's Thailand. No. Ask questions in a polite manner regarding anything that may be unclear to you, that might be problematic. These are matters that can be applicable to everybody, full-time students or not. Full-time students or not. Anyone that you're learning from, listen. Listen. This is from the ways that a person can benefit in seeking knowledge, that you listen carefully and that you ask proper questions, that you ask proper questions. After this, the Shaykh goes to those matters, five matters that he sees as being of the utmost importance as advices to a person who's serious about seeking knowledge. So, he says, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, وَمِنْ أَحَمُّ وَمِنْ أَحَمِّ أَسْبَابِ التَّحْصِيلِ. From amongst the most important, and this is not a comprehensive, complete list of the things that a person needs, the asbab, the reasons, or the cause, or the means of acquisition of knowledge, but he said, مِنْ أَحَمِّ الْأَسْبَابِ. So from among the most important, means of a tahseel, of the acquisition of knowledge, from amongst the most important of them, he said, is islahu an-niyya, the rectification of one's intention. وَحَفْظُ الْوَقْتِ, and to guard and protect and preserve your time. Don't waste time. وَالْعَمَلُ بِمَا عَلِمَ, and that a person acts upon what they have learned. So he mentions five things here. He mentions the first three of them. The first of them is what? Islah and niyya. That is the most important thing. That a person's niyya is correct. That it's pure for the sake of Allah alone. Because without that, whatever else a person does is going nowhere. As we'll see in the Shaykh's commentary on this advice. The first and the most important thing is islah and niyya. That a person rectify, that they reform, that they correct the niyya. Make sure that the niyya is correct. Some of the scholars said that the niyya, linguistically it means al-qasd. Yani the niyya is the objective, the goal, the aim. And in the sharia, it is that a person has firm resolve to do an act of worship as a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person resolves to do an act of worship as a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the mahal, Yani the place of the niyyah is the question. It is the heart. The place of the niyyah is the heart. And to express it on the tongue is innovation. The place of the niyyah is the heart. And therefore no one knows a person's niyyah except Allah. This is something that a person has to reflect upon. Because if you know that the niyyah is not known to anyone except Allah, then it really doesn't matter. The people, it really doesn't matter. Because only Allah knows your niyyah. Allah does know it. And that's what really, you know, really matters. That's the core. Yani, are you doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone or for some other reasons due to which it may, whatever you do may be rejected. So the Shaykh, he says, from the most important of the asbab, the reasons, the causes, or the means of the acquisition of knowledge is islah niyyah wa hafz al-waqt wal amalu bima alima. Yani the rectification of the intention, the preservation of one's time. Preservation of one's time. And the Shaykh is going to comment on this, so I'm going to leave it for now. But we waste a lot of time, especially with these modern instruments, telephones, and other than that. As I mentioned previously, some of the scholars in Yemen are very, very, very hard on students of knowledge wasting time with social media. Because it is a tremendous waste of time. A tremendous waste of time. Telephones are a tremendous waste of time. And these people spend a lot of time on the telephone that if they had used that time for something of benefit, it would change their life. Here he says, he talks about the third of these matters, al-amal bima alima. Yani he talks about it a little bit, and he says, وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي بَعْدُ الْآثَارِ. And it has come in some of the narrations, yani some of the reports that came. And even though the athar can sometimes be used to refer to hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, what is intended here is, yani from after the Prophet ﷺ, yani something that is conveyed to us from the companions or the tabi'een or the generations of the Muslims, yani early generations of the Muslims. It came in an athar, or بَعْدُ الْآثَارِ, من عمل بما علم أورثه الله علم ما لم يعلم. يعني من عمل بما علم. Whoever acts upon that which they learned. Whoever acts upon that which they learned, أورثه الله, then Allah will grant him علم ما لم يعلم. Allah will give them knowledge of what they didn't know. Whoever acts upon what they know, then Allah will give them knowledge of what they didn't know, what they don't know. And there's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ where he mentions about no person will go forward on Yawm al-Qiyamah except that they are questioned about four things, and some of the narration says five things. And one of those questions is, مَاذَا عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ. What did you do with that which you knew? We're going to be asked on Yawm al-Qiyamah. What did you do with that which you knew? The Shaykh is saying here, yani that it has been narrated, yani from some of the early generations of the Muslims, that whoever acts upon what they knew, then Allah will give them knowledge of that which they don't know. وَشَاهِدُهُ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And that which supports, yani the shahid, the witness that supports this meaning from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is his saying in Surah Muhammad, 47th Surah, 17th Ayat, وَالَّذِينَ احْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدَى وَأَتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. Yani those who ihtadaw, meaning those who follow the guidance. As some of the scholars of tafsir said, it means those who follow the guidance by having iman in it. وَالْإِنْقِيَاد, and submitting and complying with it. And then, yani ittiba, following that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person believes in the guidance when it comes to them, and then they, yani, comply with it. They act upon it, seeking that which earns the pleasure of Allah. Those who follow the guidance, zadahum huda, Allah will give them more guidance. Yani, that's the point that the Shaykh is making here, that those who act upon the knowledge, Allah will give them more knowledge. Those who act upon the guidance, Allah will increase them in guidance. وَأَتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ, and he will give them their taqwa, yani the means through which they can protect themselves from the punishment of Allah or the anger of Allah. And perhaps when we go through the commentary of the Shaykh, we will look at any some of the tafsirs, and in some of the tafsirs it mentions that any the person who follows the guidance, Allah will give them two benefits. One of them, He will give them knowledge, more guidance, yani al-ilm al-nafiyah. And He will also give them amal al-salih, yani He will give them righteousness, taqwa, to act upon it. The second evidence that He mentions concerning this matter, that whoever acts upon His knowledge, Allah will give him, yani more knowledge, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 76 ayat, وَيَزِيدُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ اِحْتَدَوُ هُدَى, yani that Allah will increase those who follow the guidance. Yani He will give them more guidance. Then the Shaykh goes to the next two points. Yani this advice is very, very brief. And he says, وَمِنْ أَحَمِّ الْأَسْبَابِ أَيْضًا, and also from amongst the most important asbab. Yani from amongst the most important reasons or causes or means through which a person can acquire knowledge is الْإِسْتِقَامَةُ عَلَى تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالْحَذَرُ مِنَ الْمَعَاسِي. الْإِسْتِقَامَةُ عَلَى تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالْحَذَرُ مِنَ الْمَعَاسِي. Two more things to the first three. Now we have five things. The fourth of them is what? Al-istiqama. That a person be consistent upon a taqwa. That they observe taqwa of Allah all the time. Yani, in the way that Allah deserves it. Day and night, public and private. With one's family and one's friends. With strangers or whoever. In the marketplace or in the school. Yani, a person is constantly observing taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be steadfast upon a taqwa. وَالْحَذَرُ مِنَ الْمَعَاسِي, and that a person takes, yani, precautions that they beware of falling into sin. That a person protects theirself, avoid committing sins as much as one is able to. الْإِسْتِقَامَةُ عَلَى تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالْحَذَرُ مِنَ الْمَعَاسِي. In reference to these two points, the Shaykh mentions, yani, some evidences that he has explained in a way that perhaps is not obvious when you read them in Arabic. Forget about when you read them in English. Yani, perhaps it wouldn't be obvious, these meanings that the Shaykh, the Imam, he's an Imam, naam, and he's explaining this in a way that, mashallah, is, yani, you don't see it like that if you're just reading it. He said, so there are two points here. From the means of achieving knowledge, the acquisition of knowledge, is being steadfast and upright upon taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and avoiding sin. So as far as the first of those matters, he says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. That whoever observes taqwa of Allah, because the fourth point is what? Being consistent, being steadfast upon taqwa of Allah. So he mentions this ayat, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, whoever observes taqwa of Allah, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. This is a shartiyah statement, yani where there's a condition, and then if you fulfill that condition, then this will happen. And Allah is making a promise here. Whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for them a makhrajah, a way out. A way out. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And also He will provide him with provisions from where he didn't expect it. Two things here. Yani, as a result of a taqwa of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for you. From what? He doesn't say what from. He will make a way out from you, for you. From whatever you need to get out of. In whatever situation you're in. And He will provide for you provisions from where you didn't expect it. The Shaykh says, وَالْمَخْرَجُ مِنَ الْجَهْلِ مِنْ أَحَمُّ الْمَخَارِجِ الْمَطْلُوبَةِ. Yani, escaping from ignorance is from the most important things that a person needs to escape from. And He will make a way out for you from your debt, make a way out from you from jail, He will make a way out from you. Yani, from the most important things that a person needs to get out of is ignorance. Allah will make a way out for you from ignorance as a result of observing taqwa of Allah. كَمَا أَنَّ الْعِلْمِ مِنْ أَفْضَلِ الرِّزْقِ الَّذِي يُنْتِجُ عَنِ التَّقْوَى. And similarly, knowledge is from the best of provisions which result from observing taqwa. And so the shaykh is saying here that Allah will make a makhraj for you. He's saying He will make a makhraj from ignorance. He will make a way out for you from ignorance. And He will provide for you provisions from where you didn't expect it. Meaning, that from the best of provisions is knowledge. Is knowledge. Yani beneficial knowledge. So this is from the best of what a person may receive of provisions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a result of their observing taqwa. He will make a way out for you from ignorance, and He will give you knowledge, beneficial knowledge. Yani that will, yani change your life. Then he mentions another ayah that's also in support of this point, yani of the yani the importance of istiqama ala taqwa Allah. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah, 29th ayah, qala ta'ala, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, in tattaqu allaha yaj'al lakum furqana. Yani, O you who believe, if you observe taqwa of Allah, Allah will make for you a criterion, a furqan. Allah will make for you a criterion. Shaykh says, wa ahsanu ma qila fi tafsir al-furqan, and from the best of what has been said concerning the explanation of Al-Furqan in this ayah, from the best of what has been said by the scholars of tafsir, أَنَّهُ مَا يَحْسُلُ لِلْعَبْدِ مِن نُورِ الْعِلْمِ الَّذِي يُفَرِّقُ بِهِ مِنَ الْحَقُّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. And from the best of the explanations of the scholars of tafsir, of what is this Furqan, that if you observe taqwa of Allah, He will make for you a Furqan, a criterion, he said, it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make for the abd. He will give the abd light, the light of knowledge, by which he will, is enabled to distinguish between truth and falsehood. So these are from the benefits of al-istiqamah ala taqwa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for you. And from many things, but from the most important of them is the way out of ignorance. And He will give you provisions, and from the best of those provisions is knowledge. And He will make for you a criterion. And that criterion, from the best of what has been said concerning it, is that He will give you the light of knowledge by which you will be able to distinguish between truth and falsehood. And I don't want to make too much commentary because our time is limited. We're going to try to stick to 1 hour from the time that we started until the time that we finish. We're going to try to stick to 1 hour, even though the time is open now, but we're not going to keep you here all night. So how much... And how greatly is our need to be able to distinguish between truth and falsehood? When we look around us in this society or wherever we may be, even in the Muslim world, yani a Muslim is in need of the light of knowledge which enables one to distinguish between truth and falsehood. Oh, how great is our need for that criterion? Because people are lost and astray in darkness, Muslims, because they don't have knowledge to distinguish between truth and falsehood. And you find today, in these social media platforms and on the internet or wherever, you find people saying crazy stuff you cannot believe, and people are believing it. Why? Because they don't have a criterion. So observing taqwa of Allah, and from the results of it, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a criterion so that you can distinguish between truth and falsehood. The second matter, or the last matter that he mentions here, is al-hadha min al-ma'asi. And the shaykh himself, he comments on this very briefly, saying, al-imam Abdul Aziz ibn Ibaz, rahimahullah, he says, وَأَمَّا أَثَرُ الْمَعَاصِي فِي الْحِرْمَانِ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ النَّافِيَ مَعَلُومٌ بِالنَّصِ وَالْوَاقِعِ. This water is sitting here. Bismillah. I forgot to drink it. Talk about that. I needed some water too. This water was sitting here the whole time and I just recognized it. Alhamdulillah. He said, so the last matter is that a person try to avoid falling into sin. Taking precautions. Yani from just recklessly engaging in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أما أثر المعاصي في الحرمان من العلم النافية. As far as the effect of sins in depriving a person of beneficial knowledge, فَمَعَلُومٌ بِالنَّصِّ وَالْوَاقِيَ. This is well known from textual evidences, the nas, from Qur'an or Sunnah, and from al-waqiyah, yani the reality that we experience in our everyday lives. It is known that sins have an effect on a person being deprived of beneficial knowledge. And he mentions some evidences of this, from both sides, from Nas and from the Waqia. كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Shura, 42nd Surah, 30th Ayah, وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Now whatever has befallen you, whatever has afflicted you, yani any musiba, calamity or affliction that has befallen you, then it is because of what your own hands have earned. And it's from your own hands, what you have done. You caused this to befall yourself. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And here the ayah ends by saying that Allah pardons a lot. Yani meaning a person is committing sins, causing harm to themselves, causing calamities to befall them, even though Allah has pardoned a lot. Yani Allah pardoned a lot of the stuff that we did, but nonetheless some of it remained to bring harm to us. مَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ. There's no calamity that has befallen you except it's what your own hands have earned, even though Allah has pardoned much. The Shaykh says, وَلَا رَيْبَ. There's absolutely no doubt. And the حِرْمَان الْعِلْمَ النَّافِيَة, that a person being deprived of beneficial knowledge, مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الْمَصَابِ, is from the greatest, and is the most horrible or terrible of calamities. Being deprived of beneficial knowledge. In reality, any people are concerned about becoming sick or losing their property or their loved ones or their homes. But what about a person who is deprived of beneficial knowledge? The damage of being deprived of beneficial knowledge is not limited to this world, but rather it will cause a person to lose out in the next life. Otherwise, any a calamity befalls them, a person dies or they lose their property, so it's just yani, a temporary loss. But the loss of the hereafter is the real loss. He said, there's no doubt that from the things, yani from the greatest of the calamities that befall a person is being deprived, being denied beneficial knowledge. And also from the textual evidences in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, أَنُّهُ قَالَ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقَ بِالذَّنْبِ يُصِيبُهُ. That indeed an abd, yani a person, will be deprived of provisions. And these provisions might be yani finance, money, but also of course the Shaykh is using this hadith in reference to what? Being deprived of the greatest of provisions, which is knowledge, beneficial knowledge. Indeed an abd will be deprived of provisions or risk due to a sin that they have committed. And from the waqiyah, from the life experiences, yani that prove this point, he says, وَلَمَّا جَلَسَ الشَّافِعِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْ مَالِكْ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمَا. Yani when الشَّافِعِي, yani al-imam al-shafi, sat in front of al-imam Malik, rahimahullah, وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمَا, may Allah's rahmah be upon both of them. قَالَ مَالِكْ لِلشَّافِي. Imam Malik said to Imam Shafi'i, yani Imam Malik was the Imam and Shafi was the student. إِنِّي أَرَى اللَّهَ قَدْ أَلْقَى عَلَيْكَ مِنْ نُورِهِ فَلَا تُطْفِعْهُ بِالْمَعَاسِي. And he, indeed, I see that Allah has cast upon you some of His light. Light, nur. So don't extinguish it by committing sins. And he said, I see in your face the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah has given you light. Don't extinguish it by committing sins. And here, Imam Malik is telling Imam Shafi rahimahullah that sins are a cause of a person being deprived of beneficial knowledge. And that light is the knowledge that Allah has given you. Don't cause it to be extinguished by engaging in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. Yani, the Shaykh, he's quoting this, and he's saying, yani, or something like this, yani, the wording, if this is not the exact wording, then something like this. He said to him, yani, don't extinguish the light of Allah, the light of knowledge that Allah has given to you by committing sins. وَقَالَ الشَّافِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ. And Imam Shafi himself said, شَقَوْتُ إِلَى وَقِيعَ سُوَ حَفْظِي فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكَ الْمَعَاسِي. I complained to one of the other great scholars of the time, who he learned from, Waqi'. He said, I complained to him about my bad memory. فَأَرْشَدَنِي إِلَى تَرْكَ الْمَعَاسِي. So he guided me, yani to something that would help my memory, that is, to abandon sins. He guided me to the abandonment of sins. وَقَالَ لِي اعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ الْعِلْمَ نُورٌ وَنُورُ اللَّهِ لَا يُؤْتَاهُ عَاصِي. And he also said to me, know that knowledge is light. Knowledge is light. And the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not be given to a sinner. Will not be given to a sinner. Then the shaykh, he closes this advice. Still have 10 minutes. He closes this advice with dua. He says, and this is one of the things that I've mentioned in the past, and I'll continue to mention, that Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, one of the things that he is known for, if a person examines any his writings and his speech, is for making dua for the Muslims. And these dua, if a person heard him saying them and knew anything about him, will know that these are dua that are from the heart. And we hope that Allah will answer them. We expect that Allah will answer them. He closes this advice by saying, وَأَسْعَلُ اللَّهَ يَمْنَحَكُمْ التَّوْفِيقِ لِلْعِلْمَ النَّافِيَ وَالْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ وَأَنْ يَنْفَعَ بِكُمْ إِبَادَهُ إِنَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَسْؤُولِ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. He said, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you all, to bestow upon you a tawfiq, success, in the attainment, in the achievement of beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. That he's supplicating that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us success in achieving beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. Because not all knowledge is beneficial. And not all actions are beneficial, are righteous, that will count, that will be on a person's scale of good deeds. So if a person is given beneficial knowledge and acting upon it, righteous actions, then this is success. And he also supplicates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit his worshippers, the people, through you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you beneficial knowledge and righteous actions, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit the people through you. That you go back and you teach the people where you came from so that the people also benefit. Innahu khayrul mas'ul. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best one to ask. To ask for anyone's needs. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And may the salam be upon you and the mercy of Allah and His blessings. Okay, so I'm just going to take just a few minutes that remain and just read a little bit of the commentary of the Shaykh before going to the first point. He says, "Intaha kalam hadha al-imam al-azim fi hadhihi al-wasaya an-nafiya." This is the end of the speech of this great imam in this beneficial wasiyah, this advice. وهي كما قدمت جديرة بأن يعنى طالب العلم بتدبرها. And it is, as I mentioned previously, deserving that it be given attention. That a person give attention to this advice. That a student of knowledge give attention to this advice by pondering over it, contemplating it, reflecting upon it. That a person doesn't just read this one or two page advice and say, I've read it, I got it, and it's done. But a person has to actually reflect upon what he has said here. Person, we need to contemplate, to reflect upon, to ponder over what has been said here. And as it was with the advice of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, a person reads that advice on the surface and gets benefit, but if a person reflects upon it, then there's so much more to it than what meets the eye. And so, the imams of the people of Sunnah are people that Allah has blessed to be able to have a grasp on the knowledge of this deen, such that in a few words they can say that which is comprehensive in meaning, and a person has to reflect upon it in order to benefit from it. So he says that this advice is worthy of the students of knowledge to reflect upon, to contemplate. والكلام على هذه الوصية ومضامينها ومحتوياتها يحتاج إلى وقت. He said, discussing, speaking about this advice and its contents, what it contains, what it entails, will take some time. It requires, it needs time. وَلَكِنَّنِي أقف باختصار ما الأسباب التي ذكرها رحمه الله تعالى والمعينة على حسن تحصيل العلم، حيث إنه رحمه الله جمع أسبابا عظيمة إذا عني طالب العلم بها كانت بإذن الله تبارك وتعالى معونة له على قوة التحصيل. I'll stop here and say that the Shaykh is saying here that what? Yani that this discussion concerning this advice and what it contains and what it entails requires time. However, I'm just going to stop upon, briefly, the asbab. Yani the five things that he mentioned after the 6 points. Yani to the students of the university, he mentioned five things which are the means through which a person can achieve or acquire knowledge. He said, I'm just going to talk, briefly about those asbab. The five asbab that the Shaykh mentions here. That he has mentioned here and which will help a person to, in the acquisition of knowledge, which will help a person to acquire knowledge. For indeed, he, the Shaykh rahimahullah, has gathered or collected some very important, asbab, means for acquiring knowledge, that if a student of knowledge gives attention to them, then by the permission of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and if a person follows these advices and utilizes these means, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will help him, ma'unatan lahu ala quwwat al-tahsil. And it will help a person to have strength in the acquisition of knowledge. Wasa'at al-idraq. And that a person will have a vast comprehension of the knowledge that they are seeking. وَحُسْنُ الْعِلْمَامِ Yani that a person will have a good, strong knowledge. Yani will know this, will know it well. Will know well what? The masail of the sharia wa dala'iliha. Yani that a person will know well the issues that came in the sharia and the evidences for them. وَحُسْنِ التَّفَقُّ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى And that a person will have a good understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَيَكُونُ لَهُ نَصِيبًا وَافِرًا مِمَّنْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِهِمْ الْخَيْرِ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ يعني كما في الحديث مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَكِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ يعني so the Shaykh Shaykh Abdul Razak closes his brief comments on any this advice from the Shaykh. He's saying, so if a person utilizes, understands well, comprehends and acts upon these asbab, these means of acquisition of knowledge, then it will be a means to him having a good nasiban wafiran, will have an ample amount, a share from that which from those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for them, from his worshippers. And those who Allah intends good for them, a person will have an ample share of this goodness, as it came in the hadith, من يريد الله به خيرا يفقه في الدين. Whoever Allah intends, whoever Allah decrees good for them, he will give them understanding, fiqh, fahm, understanding of the deen. That is through the knowledge of the sharia and the knowledge of the sunnah. If Allah intends good for a person, and he's going to give them good, he's going to give them understanding of the deen. And when Allah leaves a person without having understanding of the deen, that means that Allah has not decreed, Allah has not intended good for them. So that a person seeks knowledge, considering all of these matters, especially the most important of them, is seeking it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Then if Allah grants them success in doing so, then this is a sign that Allah intends good for a person. So we should take this matter seriously, don't take it lightly. And as I mentioned, the Shaykh mentions five matters. Inshallah, we're going to memorize those five matters at least. And we're going to memorize the 6 points that he mentioned before that at least. And we're going to try to memorize some of the evidences that he mentioned, at least in the original text of the advice, some of the evidence that he mentioned for these points, for wherever he has mentioned some evidence, and how he explained it, the understanding of it. Bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. After we close out tonight, inshallah, we're going to stay for a couple of minutes to have some refreshments, as we normally do. And at that time, or after that time, inshallah, there's some people who are going to recite to us from memory, from the last advice. There's some people who are going to recite to us from memory. Abdullah, you have a good memory, ba. Where's Yusuf? Yusuf here? Yusuf? Huh? Ahmed, Mahmoud. We have to memorize some of this. Talib. Talib is always memorizing, mashallah. This brother in front of me has a good memory. Allahu musta'an. Whoever's occupied with memorizing the Quran, that's awla, la shakka fee. But it doesn't mean that there's a contradiction between memorizing some of the sunnah and memorizing other things that are important. As Shaykh al-Uthaymeen mentioned, the importance of memorizing the mutun in all the sciences of Islam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. And that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He grant us al-thabat, yani steadfastness upon Sirat al-Mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a speedy and complete recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and that He shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, that He make their graves spacious and fill them with light and protect them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire, and admit them into His paradise. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for relief from Himself, that Allah grant relief from Himself and protection from Himself for the Muslims, the men, women, and children who are being persecuted, who are being slaughtered, who are being murdered in Palestine and other places in the earth, whether it's in Palestine or in Sudan or in Yemen or in Burma or China or India, wherever it may be, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them relief from Himself and protection from Himself. Indeed, Allah is sufficient, yani for those who believe. Ameen ya Rabb. Tayyib. Wa iyyakum. So, we had hoped that this advice is going to last for about 3 weeks, but it might last a little bit longer. Inshallah. We'll see how it goes. Now.